Praise the Lord. The Lord takes care of His children. He does. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read some verses beginning with verse number 10 this morning, talking about the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise. This past Wednesday night in the service, we talked about the promises of God. And the Word of God filled with promises. I related that there was one fellow that actually went and counted the promises in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and he came up with over 30,000 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises, and every one of them that are in God's Word are personal. They're for you and they're for me. They're ours to possess these promises and to believe that God, if He's spoken it, He'll bring it to pass. If He said it, He's not a man that He should lie. God will bring it to pass. He is a God who will come through. Sometimes people might disappoint you, let you down, don't keep their word, break their covenants, their vows. But God keeps His word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit of promise. You remember that when the Spirit of God... Whenever the Lord is talking about the Holy Spirit, He talks about the fact that I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send this promised Holy Spirit. And so we know that it's down through the years, the many that we have benefited from the blessing of the Spirit of the Lord. But I want to look at this in even a little bit greater detail here today and just talk about the Holy Spirit of promise. Reading here, beginning with verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Skipping down to verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Praise God. Now, I know that we all are aware of the fact that we live in a natural world where natural things take place. But as Christians, that we live in we understand that God works in a supernatural way, above and beyond natural things and natural solutions. That there is a supernatural working of God, and that's accomplished through the power of His Holy Spirit in our life. And we all, I think, are aware of the fact that the work of the Spirit of God brings you to that place of salvation, a wonderful work of the Spirit of God that draws men and brings them to the place that they are saved. I have watched people many, many times so burdened down, so under conviction, and God talking to them, dealing with them. That's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God working on people. And that's the nature of the Spirit of God. Never idle, always working, always moving, always accomplishing things. And so one of the things that we need to understand about the work of the Spirit in our life personally is, yes, we are saved, and the writer here in Ephesians talks about that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's describing the fact that when you come to the Lord and you get saved, there is a work of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Your mind, the Bible says, all things are changed. All things are new. There's a transformation that takes place. Your mind, the way you think, everything about you is turned upside down, transformed by the working of the Spirit of God in your life. If that doesn't happen, then you have not truly been born again. If you're born again, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are not the same. If you are the same, if you're living the same, acting the same, talking the same, everything is the same as it was before, then you need another trip back to the altar. You need to get back to the cross and let Christ do the work that he can do in changing your life. But then it describes in the next verse there, in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. I know that many of you, if you've ever bought and sold anything, not too many months ago, we sold a couple of the church's vehicles, and one of them said to me, he just drove that old red van that had 300,000 miles, and we were asking a lot of money for it, and he gave us almost what we were asking for. He said, I don't have all the money with me today. And this was Saturday evening. He said, let me give you, and he looked in his wallet and said, counted off, I think it was $300, $300 bills. Let me give you this, and then I'll come back Monday morning and give you the rest of the money. Amen. I was smiling. And I tucked away that $300 because that was earnest money. That means there was more to come. More to come. It was just the beginning of that which was more to come. That's the working of the Spirit of God. Now, we don't limit the work of Jesus in our salvation and the work of the Spirit of God in our salvation, but we just know that the nature of God by His Spirit is that it is to be a continuing work of the Spirit of God. You never just arrive at some place where you have all that you need. You're constantly in need. You're daily in need. Every day, every week, you face new challenges. You have new opportunities that God gives to us. And so He has promised, I have given to you, when you're born again, when you get saved, I've given you the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God, then you have this touch of God upon your life. But it's going to be something I'm going to continue. The earnest of this inheritance, it's continuing. It never stops. It is the nature of God and the working of the Spirit of God to give us more and more and more and more. And God never runs out of His divine supply. You cannot exhaust the power of God and what God can do. I think too many times our vision and our dreams of the plan of God and the purpose of our God is so small in comparison to all that is available to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. So much that can be done and can be accomplished. But here is another problem that can take place. Sometimes instead of that touch of God upon your life, sometimes you think of that as, well, that's all I need. And you ask people, well, are you saved? Are you filled with the Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? And a lot of times people say, yes, I am. But there's no evidence of that at all in their life. And you question them further. Well, it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Some people are depending upon the work of the Spirit of God that took place in their life 20, 30, 40 years ago. But there's nothing going on right now in their life. There's no continuing work of the Spirit of God. And what can happen is the same thing that happens whenever they... how many of you have gotten a flu shot yet this year? There's one, two, three. Oh, quite a few of you. But when you get something like a flu shot, I think you all know that they actually put a live culture into you. It's living. It's that germ. It's that flu virus. They just put just a little of it into you. Some people actually get to feeling a little sick for a day or two when they get that shot. But they do that because your body then begins to build up a resistance to that flu, and you're able to fight it off. If that flu virus tries to attack your body, then you've already got this resistance built up in your body that keeps that from happening. Hopefully, that's the way it goes. Amen. But I am concerned about this when it comes to the work of the Spirit of God. There are some folks, and sometimes we all fall into this trap. We've had an experience with God. We've been filled with the Spirit. We've had a time of spiritual revival. And we got a little taste. We got a little inoculation to the things of the Spirit of God. And we kind of become satisfied. And now we become resistant to more. We become resistant to greater things. Our mindset is we have all that we need. We have what we are in need of. We don't have to worry about receiving any more of the things of God in our life. Let me skip over to chapter 2 of Ephesians, where it describes the work of God's grace in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, and this is verse 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, not of works, not natural, not what you can do. It's not anything you can accomplish. But whenever we become a child of God, whenever we're filled with the Spirit of God, we are his workmanship. And that's an interesting word there, the word in the Greek. It is a word, peome. The word peome means something that is working or creating or becoming. And it's really interesting because in the Jewish culture, the peome was the thing that many times a father or a family member, often it was the father, sometimes it was maybe the rabbi, who when a child was born, that they would take that child up and they would speak. And the Jews called it the peome. And that was the father saying, this is what my son is going to become. He is going to become this. He's going to become this. They would speak almost a prophetic word. You remember that was true. And when John the Baptist was born, that at first Zacharias, he's so full of doubt that the angel of the Lord has struck him and he can't even speak. But finally, when he's willing to say his name is John, then his mouth is open and he begins to speak about what this promised son, John the Baptist, was going to be. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. This is the father talking. This is the peome. He'll be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to give our feet unto the way of peace. There's Zacharias. His mouth is finally opened, and he just begins to prophesy about this son. That was the peome. That was what the father said about the son. The same thing happened whenever Mary and Joseph took Jesus into the temple. And you remember that in the temple, Simeon is there. He's old. He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Bible says that he was, it's amazing to see the working of the Spirit of God in that story. In verse 25, it says that the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. Every verse, there is a working and a moving of the Spirit of God in Simeon's life. He came by the Spirit into the temple, prearranged timing by God and by the Spirit of God, at the very time that Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus into the temple to do for him after the custom of the law. And then Simeon takes him up in his arms, and he speaks this peome over Christ, the Son of God. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory to God. This is what is going to happen in this little baby's life. This is the peome. Now, if we are his workmanship, that's the word. If we're his workmanship, then that means that God, it's not important what your plan is for your life, but it's of the utmost importance what God says you need to be doing with your life. Amen. We are His workmanship. We are His peyomi. Whenever we're born again of the Spirit of God, then it's only God that by His Spirit who says about you and about me, this is what I want to do in his life. This is how I want to work in this lady's life. This is how I want to work in this child's life. This is how I want to move. And this is what I will do in their life. Speaking about their future. The Holy Spirit of promise. The promise is always futuristic. It's always talking about what I'm going to do. So the working of the Spirit of God in our life is the promise of what God said, I will do in your life, in your future, in the days ahead. This is what I am going to do. Amen. Glory to God. You know, the truest and the greatest manifestation of the power of God is whenever you see someone come to God and they're born again. I have a real desire, a real hunger to see people get saved, really genuinely saved and born again, because I want them to see their life. I want them to see their future and what God has planned for them. I want to see it lived out. And it just worries me and frustrates me when I see people, sometimes young people, who have their whole lives before them, and they've got so many other things on their mind. They don't care about God. They're not giving God the time of day, and they're not pursuing after the things of God. They've got their own plans, their own ideas, and their lives and their days are filled up with all kinds of things that don't really make that much difference. Amen. And we have deceived this generation into believing that there are things that they're doing right now. I know everybody loves sports and gets involved in it, but folks, every year it goes too far. People just get all caught up in it. It becomes like an idol. And it's more important than God. It's more important than worship. It's more important than their future with God and the plan that God has for them. God has plans for you, has plans for your children, for your grandchildren, and for the days that are ahead. And not just sports, all kinds of things that can become an idol and replace the plan of God for your life. The Holy Spirit of promise, the peyomi, what God wants to do with your life. That's what you need to be most concerned about. You need to be most concerned about this day forward, from this day forward. Not what I want, but what does God want to do? I want to be His workmanship. I want Him doing things in me and accomplishing things in me according to His plan. Amen. You know, the work of the Spirit of God, as I've already said, is this continuing work of the Spirit of God. Amen. That God, by His Holy Spirit, is never dormant, never idle, always working, always moving. You can go actually back to Genesis chapter 1, and it's only verse number 2 there, where you can see that there's darkness upon the face of the deep. But it was the Spirit of God that brooded, the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the deep. It was the Spirit of God that was working and moving, even back there in Genesis chapter 1, to bring life and to bring that chaos into order and bring light into that situation and to cause the earth to become what it became. You read the Bible and you'll see all through the Word of God, you see the work of the Spirit of God moving, working, ministering in the lives of people. And where people yielded themselves to God, God did great things. When people yielded themselves to the plan of God, then it was amazing and wonderful what God was doing. Then you can go all the way back to the the first chapter of the Bible. You could go to the last chapter of the Bible in chapter 22 of Revelation and verse 17. And there the Spirit of God is again. This time, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. So from the beginning to the end, it's the working of the Spirit of God that matters in the life of a person. You are His workmanship. And let Him work in you and in your life the way that He wants to and according to the plan that He has. That's the Holy Spirit of promise. It's not just something that you receive in an altar. at one time and that's the end of it all. No, that's the beginning of the daily work of the Spirit of God in your life. As you live out the plan of God and live out the purpose of God. And quite frankly, we've got a generation right now that's growing up. For me, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I've experienced some wonderful moves of God. I've seen revivals where God has done great things. I've witnessed healings. I have witnessed great supernatural works of God down through the years. But we have a generation that's growing up right now. Our children and our young people, that they need to know that the work of the Spirit of God is not just something that happens in one service and then that's the end of it. There is this working of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of promise that says, I have a plan for tomorrow and for the next day and for next week and for this present age that we're living in right now. There are answers that can only come by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Whenever Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send another comforter. It's in John chapter 14 and verse 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Couple of things about that passage of scripture, that the world, the unsaved, the unconverted, they cannot see the need for God. They cannot comprehend how that God can even fit into their life and how that he should fit into their life, because the world can't receive it. They don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Their eyes are clouded. They don't see it. But those that are born again, those that come to Jesus Christ and allow him to do a work of transformation, then you have an ability to see. You see that God is a God not of just today, but of tomorrow, next week, and of the coming weeks. God has a plan by his Spirit. We're his workmanship. He's working in us, and he wants to fulfill his purpose in your life. Amen. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. The word there is the word which is translated in some places, orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. An orphan is someone who has no support. They have no love. They have no provision. They have no protection. They have no hope. They're just so vulnerable. They don't have anything that they're in need of. Do you know that's the picture of the church without revival? That's the picture of the church without a moving of the Spirit of God. A church that has no legitimate move of God, no real move of the Spirit of God in our lives, then we are like an orphan. We don't have anything. We can sing our songs and they just fall flat. We can preach our sermons and they have no real lasting effect. We can do our works and our ministries and we can try to do our best, but in reality, we're just orphaned. We don't have any power. We have no hope. We have no source. We have nothing to be able to accomplish what we need to in this world. But Jesus said, I won't leave you that way. I won't leave you without hope. I won't leave you orphaned. I will come to you. I'll be with you. I'll touch your life. I will direct your life. I'll give you wisdom and power and vision. And I will work in your life. I will work in you. I will cause my purpose and my heart to be in you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, it's a sad and a dangerous thing in the church world to try to do the work that can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God, to try to accomplish it in the flesh. And Paul in Galatians talks about that. Why would we ever go back to that? To try to do by the flesh that which can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God. If we try it in the flesh, we're just going to wear ourselves out. We're going to work ourselves up at trying and trying and trying. But if there's no real move of God in your life, if there's no working of the Spirit, if you've not yielded yourself to the voice of the Spirit of God, then you are orphaned and powerless, and you cannot do the will of God. You're not going to be able to do that. But the Holy Spirit of promise, hallelujah, He has come, and He has not left us, but instead He has empowered us. Amen. There's a story in Acts chapter 19. Those vagabond Jews, sons of Sceva, those seven sons of Sceva, it says that they took upon them to call upon them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord. Now, let me give you just a little background on the sons of Sceva. Their father was a high priest. And history says that these seven sons of Sceva were very well versed in the Scripture. They knew it. They knew the Word of God. They knew it. And they were, because their father was the high priest, they were all very acquainted with the things of God and the worship and all of the activities that go on in the house of God. And so all of that familiarity. One day, I'm just kind of describing what I see in this scripture here, paraphrasing, I guess. But one day they see that Paul has power over demonic spirits. And he sets people who are bound by demonic spirits, he sets them free in the name of Jesus. And so they're just so familiar with the church and so familiar with things like that that they just say to themselves, hey, that's pretty neat. Let's try that. Let's try that. And so it says they took it upon themselves to call over them which had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And there was no relationship to God. They knew the Word of God. They were going through the formality of what they had seen the Apostle Paul do, but they didn't have the power of God. So you see what happened. In verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of their house naked and wounded. Evil won. Evil prevailed. Another image of the church. We are today faced with all kinds of things in the realm of the demonic. We are dealing with demonic lies. We are dealing with philosophies that are right out of the pit of hell. What we're dealing with in our world today, with all these things that are so contrary to God and the things of God, the direction of our country and the move of the church away from the Word of God, we are finding ourselves in a similar state. In a similar state. Thinking that we can do the work of God without the power of God. Thinking that we can send these demon spirits down the road and we don't have the power of God's Spirit. We've just seen others do it. So we just think, this is what we need to do. Let's just go through the formality. Paul did it, so I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. And before they know it, they are beaten up and they are overcome. And they're running for their lives. Because they are no match in the natural with these that are bound and controlled by these wicked spirits. And neither are you or I. What we're dealing with in our generation today, all of this perverted direction of our country, moving so far away from God. Behind it all, the only explanation I have for so much that's going on in our nation today is that there is an evil, wicked spirit that's at work. That's driving these lives and driving such a perverted lifestyle and such wickedness in our land today. And the only thing that can counter that is a church that's on fire for God, is a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit, in revival, working and moving by the Spirit of God. We're His workmanship. And God has said, what I want you to do is do great things, mighty things, wonderful things, but you cannot do it in your own power. It is only by the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. So what is necessary is for all of us to bring up to date our relationship with God and to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit every day of our life, to be a people who understand that without the power of God's Spirit in our life, we're going to fail. We're not going to be able to do what God has called us to do. We're not going to be able to accomplish anything for the glory of God. We're going to fail. We're going to be defeated unless we are filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Every day. So the personal work of God's Spirit in your life will bring you to that place, this earnest of our inheritance. This earnest of our inheritance. What will happen? Verse 18 of chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. What a revelation. Amen. If we could somehow just get a vision of what God wants to do. Someone sent me a book in the mail this week, and I get lots of books given to me, and they're not all that good, but this one's great. And K.P. Yohannan, which is an Indian national who is now been in ministry for over 40 years in India. God has used him, but he tells about himself as a young boy and how that he wanted to be used of God. He weighed 90 pounds. He's 16 years old. He weighed 90 pounds. He was just a little nothing. He had nothing, but he was seeking the Lord. He was fasting. He was asking God, I want to be used. I want to be used. And he'd heard, he was from the southern tip of India, which is Kerala state, which is the most Christian of all of the states in India. And but the further north that you go in India, the worse it gets. In the northernmost parts of India, it's just a place of a terrible darkness and such opposition to the gospel still is. And but God led him to go to that place, to the northern part of India, just a young boy. And he began to go and to preach. The Spirit of the Lord would just compel him to preach to a small place, to a small group in the marketplace. And he did this for 7 years. Everywhere, every day of his life was just led of the Spirit, led of the Spirit. And he did preach to another group. Churches were established. God was working. God was moving. And now an entire Indian national missionary group is established with hundreds and hundreds of churches. And he has lots of pastors and evangelists that are working with him in this outreach in that country. Let me tell you, God can use anyone. If you're 90 pounds soaking wet, it doesn't make any difference. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're walking in the will of God, then he can do some wonderful supernatural things in your life. Hallelujah. And I don't know what the plan of God is for your life, but I do know that most of us are just missing out on what God wants to do. We're missing out on all that he wants to accomplish, that our eyes of understanding could be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of his calling, what he can do, what he will do, the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of promise, what he says he will do and how he will work in our lives in the days that are to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God wants to come and just flood your mind and your heart, and your eyes would be open that you could see what's really important. Amen. What's really important? Don't throw away your life. Don't waste your life. Children, young people, young adults, don't throw away your life. Find out the plan of God. Find out the purpose of God. Find out his plan, whatever the panoia is that he has for you. What is it he wants to do with you? He has a plan that he wants to work in your life, but it will never be accomplished until you allow him to fill you up with his Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then great things that he will do. Great things that he will do. It all begins when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ And I encourage you today, if you don't know the Lord, this is the day to get started on the path. It's really an adventure to see what God wants to do and how that He wants to work. Last weekend when Brother Sumner was talking about, he didn't know of any other mission group that were working with military and the police like they are. That's been almost the total part of their ministry, consumed with that, preaching to some 40 or 50 different stations and some, I forget how many services, seemed like it's, is it 20-some a week? About 4 services a day in all these different locations all over the country. And now, after 20 years, 21 years, now they're seeing that what they could have never known 20 years ago, that God, by His Spirit, was preparing them and that whole nation. And now, many of the decisions that are being made, the police and the army are part of it, that's affecting the future of that country. And those people have heard the gospel, and they've been exposed to the Word of the Lord. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Only the Holy Ghost can prearrange things. And God knows what's going to be happening here in London and Laurel County and the state of Kentucky and in our country. Only God knows where we'll be a year from now or 5 years from now, 10 years down the road. We don't know what the future holds, but God does. He does, and He can lead your life by His Holy Spirit. He can lead your life down a pathway whereby you can be used of God for the coming days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. And Lord, You know where we are today, but You also know tomorrow. You know the future. And Lord, Your plan, Lord, is that every day we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, so that we can accomplish Your plan for us. Oh, Lord, I just pray for all that are in this service this morning, that none of us would waste our time, waste our lives, filling up our lives with things that really don't make all that much difference. Oh God, forgive us, Lord, for our distractions. Forgive us, Lord, for our carnal interest. Oh God, forgive us, Lord, that we have laid our own plans, Lord, without consulting You, without yielding to You. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to do the work of the ministry in our own strength. Lord, help us, please. Forgive us, Lord, for trying in our own power, Lord, to do what can only be done by Your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you here today, you know that you're not listening to the voice of God. You know you've allowed other voices to distract you. You're not really walking in the plan of God, the purpose of God. Oh, the wonderful, great, mighty things that God has in store for you. What an adventure that there is in the Spirit of God. What God can do and how that He will work to accomplish wonderful things. He's the one with the plan. We're His workmanship. We just need to yield to Him. We just need to let Him do in us what He wants to. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we have things in our life and we think, well, I could never be used of God because of this or because of that, because of my past or for some other things that have happened. Let me tell you, God wants to take you today, right now today, where you are. If you're willing to yield yourself to the Lord, He wants to take you this day and from this day forward. If you'll just put yourself, your life, your future into His hands. And God wants to manifest His great work among you and in your heart. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't really, you know that you're not really on that pathway of the will of God. You're not serving the Lord with your whole heart. You've allowed other things to hinder you, to distract you. And you want to completely yield yourself to the Lord, then I invite you to come. Come to this altar. Come to the front. I know it takes a lot of courage to do that. But God can really do a work in you. He can change you. He can turn things around in your life. But are you willing to give yourself wholly, completely to Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone in this service today, and you want the will of God to be accomplished, you know that you've been just sidetracked with a lot of other things, maybe not even sinful things, but you've just been distracted. You need to get your focus back on the plan of God for your life. Place your life and your future in His hands and just see what God will do. Hallelujah. 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 Anyone here today, you really need the help of God. You need to get back into fellowship with the Lord, laying everything else aside and giving it all to the Lord here today. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everybody to come to this altar, and some that will pray with Paul here, others in this service today. If you'll just come as everybody else is coming, whatever is going on in your life, it's not worth missing out on the plan and the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Come and be touched by His Spirit. Be filled with His Spirit. And let's fill this altar up. Would you come? Let's gather in around the front of this sanctuary this morning, and let's believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank You, Lord. We do thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Would you find a place and let's call upon the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.